at $150, and you can order them at emutigers.com or by calling 1-800-CAT-PAWS. We'll see you at the zoo.
When you go out to dinner, it should be magical. There are lots of good restaurants in St. Louis, but tonight, we want great. Picture a place where the patio is lined with trees, and in the breeze, there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven, and it's no less inviting inside in a beautiful dining room with a service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled, where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs. Then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital.
Oh, hello there. I'm 70s heartthrob and multi-Emmy award-winning sportscaster Doug Vaughn. Has your life been feeling dull? Well, I'll just get straight to the point. Come into the sharpest place in town and live with a new edge. Scissors, knives, pruners, hedge clippers, lawnmower blades, whatever you need sharpened, the fine professionals at Bertarelli Cutlery can take care of it for you. 1927 Marconi on the Hill. Call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives.
Don't miss the Cardinals Hall of Fame weekend, presented by Edward Jones, when the Redbirds host the Brewers August 17th through the 19th. Friday night, it's the Mystery BP Pullover, presented by Coca-Cola and Schnucks. And Saturday, it's the Hall of Fame Mystery Baseball Cap, courtesy of Edward Jones. Sunday wraps up the Hall of Fame weekend with a Dizzy Dean watch, presented by AT&T. That's August 17th through 19th. Get your tickets at cardinals.com/promotions.
On Friday, August 17th, the Cardinals host the Brewers and fans ages 16 and older get a surprise at the gate when they receive a Mystery BP Pullover, courtesy of Coca-Cola and Schnucks. Be a big hit this summer with your own Cardinals Mystery BP Pullover. That's Friday, August 17th. The Cards, the Brewers, and the Mystery BP Pullover. Get your tickets at cardinals.com/promotions. There's only one Cardinals baseball.
When you go out to dinner, it should be magical. There are lots of good restaurants in St. Louis, but tonight, we want great. Picture a place where the patio is lined with trees, and in the breeze, there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven, and it's no less inviting inside in a beautiful dining room with a service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled, where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs. Then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital.
All right, we're just a couple minutes away from Dr. Doug Pernikoff. I just last minute made a decision to do this. First of all, I'm going to give you the numbers. When Dr. Doug gets on here, the smart people will call right now, 314-821-0590, as in 590 the fan. That's 314-821-0590. Or 855-282-TALK, which is 855-282-8255. Dan, you have your harmonica? Of course you do. You
always, oh, yeah.
You always have it. For no reason, the song came in my head, and I'm singing it on the way in. I have not sung this song since I was a kid. The Ballad of Davy Crockett. Only the first verse.
Oh, my goodness. Davy Crockett, that one?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think since it's an old song from a time where they sat around the campfire playing harmonica, I'd like to create a fictitious movie scene, if I could. As many of you know, I've written hundreds of screenplays. None ever been picked up by any kind of production people, but still, I've come up with these ideas. To show you my ability to just spontaneously create a scene. Let's go back to the Old West. Three or four guys around a campfire. Pot of coffee hanging over the fire. The coffee pot hanging on some sticks. A couple of guys sipping on some hot coffee. Two of them lying back on their saddlebags with their hats pulled down over their faces. And in the distance, one of them always has a harmonica, and he's playing slowly. He's playing slowly. The sun has set and the moon is out. Back in the distance where they've unsaddled the horses and fed them and given them water, and the horses are all tied up, and you can hear the horses. Thank you. That was me. I did that. Thank you.
I think he wants an applause.
No, I don't. No, I don't beg for applause. And then one of...
Was that Frank?
No, it was me. I mean, that was Limey. Oh. One of the cowboys, as he hears his buddy playing the harmonic, he says, "Hey, Skinny." That was the cowboy's name, Skinny.
Yeah.
Hey, Skinny. You know, you just know David Crockett? You play David Crockett?
Well, hell yeah.
Well, you play it, I'll sing it.
All righty.
Pass me some more roast beef. Cookie? Cookie was the chef, the wagon train cook. Skinny, give me a note. Give me a note. All right. I'll start and you come in and, you know, accompany me. Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee. Greatest state in the land of the free. Raised in the woods so he knew every tree. Killed him a bar when he was only three. Davy Crockett. King of the wild frontier. And all the other cowboys.
I missed the first part of that story. Were those guys drinking coffee or were they having latte cappuccinos?
It was coffee, but they had the moonshine.
Got it.
In
Sorry,
it.
I missed the first part.
And then one of the cowboys says, "Shh. You guys hear that?" And one of them. Okay, that can I saw Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
That can happen. And one of them says, "No, it wasn't that. It's something else. I heard something else. You boys stay right here. I'm going to take a look around." He gets up and he walks away from the campfire. That's his footsteps through the branches and the leaves. "Didn't we have six horses tied up out here? Cookie, Skinny, didn't we have six horses?"
"Yeah."
Now, I just got a better idea for the movie. Skinny can't speak. He's mute.
Oh, okay.
Like Harpo Marx.
Uh-huh.
He speaks with his harmonica.
Okay.
Now, this is a better movie already.
Yeah.
"Hey, Skinny. Did we have six horses tied up out here?" "Well, there's only five now. Somebody's a horse thief." I'm telling you, there's an idea here for a movie. A cowboy on the trail can't speak and uses harmonica.
I understood everything that the harmonica said, or the harmonica player played, except for the last word. What did that last word?
S-H.
Oh, yeah. It's Shison? Is that Shison?
Yeah. Do it again. So, in fact, you probably go two notes for O-S-H.
Okay.
When the other cowboy goes, "Well, there's a horse thief around here somewhere because there are only five horses tied up." No.
Oh.
That's four notes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's supposed to be O-S-H.
Okay.
You can't count, Frank.
"Hey, Skinny.
Oh.
Didn't we have six horses tied up out here?" "Well, there's only five. So there's a horse thief out here somewhere." O-S-H.
Got it.
If there are any producers listening, I've not finished the screenplay. In fact, that's all I have of it. But I think we have something here. Time to bring back a Western and put a handicapped or disabled character in it.
I think we ought to call it the Reno Brothers or something.
Now, do you also know that 98% of people listening don't know why you said that?
I would imagine 99.9% of the people don't know.
They have no idea why you
said
that.
I'm guessing that brother's from Reno.
No. He's referencing... Oh, my, here we go. He's referencing a guy who worked with us for a while. He was from L.A., and he came in, and he went on the air with us, but he's blowing off a lot of steam about how he's in the middle of producing a movie called The Reno Brothers. And he's going to give all of us bit parts in it. And, of course, it never happened.
And Robert Conrad was going to be the lead.
Yeah.
Well, if we ever have this reenactment again, Dan...
You want a part in it?
Well, I was going to volunteer to be Cookie, and I was going to volunteer Limey to be the handicapped guy because he's British.
No, the handicapped guy was the one who couldn't speak.
Oh,
the handicapped guy.
Now, I can do... This is how good I am at this movie thing. I can do another movie right now just off the top of my head, and you guys can be included in it.
Okay.
All right? The setting, again, the scene, a campfire. That's a campfire. In the distance, Skinny plays the harmonica, soft and slow.
Well, Dougie, what's for breakfast tomorrow morning?
Gonna add some of that beef jerky.
Well, that's good stuff. Rusty, when you make it, Cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Limestone.
Hello.
How did you get in this troop? You're from another country. How did you join this group, this cattle ride?
Peyote, and I took the wrong direction.
Well, we don't cotton to your type around here. I want you to take all your clothes off. Take your clothes off.
Yeah.
We got one of our special ones among us that wants to do some time with you. Bruce, come on out here for a second.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is Bruce, and he's looking for some companionship, Limestone.
Now, he is S-H out of luck.
Hey, let's go behind the tree and talk.
Oh, there he is right there. There's Bruce right there.
See, Bruce is here.
As Tim Woodburn plays two parts, the part of Cookie and Bruce, the different one. And that's all I have of that movie. Oh. There'll be more later.
Man.
And now, wow. Maestro, if you would please, the theme music for Dr. Doug Hernikoff. All right, another one I'll put him in.
We definitely owe Dr. Doug an apology.
No, we don't. No, we don't. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Clarkson Wilson Veterinary Clinic, it's time to give you a shot, a chance, an opportunity to ask questions of your pet's best friend, a terrific veterinarian, the official veterinarian of the large morning show in the afternoon. That would be Dr. Doug Hernikoff. That is made possible by Window World. Window World is the number one selling replacement window in the United States for a lot of good reasons. So keep that in mind. Be sure to tell them. Your AM and the PM, and you can contact them at windowworldst.louis.com. And now, your pet's best friend. Ooh, numbers one more time. Here we go. Call now. There's a line open. I see it. I know it's open. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK, which is 855-282-8255. Here he is, Dr. Doug Hernikoff.
Everybody today.
Having a great day, Doctor. How about you?
I am AM in the PM.
All right. Any words?
Cookie wanted to say hi. He wants to be your cook forever.
Now, let me tell you something. That is not bad. That is not bad. That's a little bit of Gabby Hayes.
Yeah, that's right.
And for people who don't know who Gabby Hayes was, a tremendous old Western character.
Yes, he was.
Now,
yes,
Doctor, I like this voice.
Well, thank you very much. I've been working on this one. And,
now, if we put you in our movie, what would this character's name be?
Oh, heck, I'd be Flex.
Flex, and what would Flex do on the trail ride?
Well, you know, he's got some special skills with the horses I can't really talk on public radio.
Hmm.
He milks the horses.
Wow.
Yeah, I bring the milk on the horses for him.
Milks the
horse. Do the other cowboys know it's horse milk?
You can milk a horse?
They don't care. They're just happy to have some milk.
No. I don't think that's milk.
Well, I say.
More like yogurt.
I say we do a quick scene with Gabby Hayes, Flex.
Okay. Okay.
And Walter Brennan playing the part of...
Oh, my goodness.
...of Turk.
Wow.
Okay. It starts like this. We're in Netflix. And I saw you over there with my horse, and he's been acting funny, acting strange. What'd you do over there with him?
Well, I got to tell you, we've been doing some special exercises with him, keeping light and light, and so he's good for the road. And I don't know that I can tell you how I do that.
Well, you better tell me right now if you want to live or see another day.
Well, guess what? I don't want to live another day. Well, thank you.
Well, I got news for you. Limey, bring me my shotgun. We can take care of this right now. This man says he doesn't want to live another day. We can take care of this. What's this?
That hurts so bad.
Goodbye, Flex. And that's the end of scene one.
Wow. Flex is dead.
Flex dies right away in the first scene. I have some calls. Do you have any words of wisdom before we take them?
You know, after this entry, this introduction, I don't think there are any words. But I was going to bring up something about, because I know that Dan is suffering through this experience, but on the choice to euthanize your pets when it's time and when it isn't. Time, you have to figure that out, obviously. So it's a very, very important moment. You have to figure out, you know, why you're doing it, what's the best way to do it, talk to your veterinarian about criteria for when you decide to put an animal to sleep. You want to do it, obviously, in the right way, the most gracious and safe way and quick way. And then you have to deal with your family. I had some kids in here the other day with an animal that had to be put to sleep, and you know, you have to deal with the kids at a different level, depending on how old they are and all. You'd be surprised. Even kids up into their teens can be very, very sensitive.
Well, still the most powerful having to put an animal away movies that I can think of are, one, My Dog Skip, and two, Old Yeller.
I thought it was My Dog Flicka.
No,
My Dog Skip.
My Friend Flicka.
Oh.
It was a horse movie.
Oh, goddamn, I'm back to the old character.
What did you say?
Wow.
He's
whoa.
Back to Flex again. You button him. Go ahead.
What?
Radio edit.
No, did you button it out?
No.
Did you dump it?
I did not.
You should have dumped it.
Well.
I didn't say edit. I said button him out. There's a difference. Let me just stop and say, ladies and gentlemen, many of you just heard Dr. Doug say something that...
It wasn't Dr. Doug, it was Flex.
Oh, well, you're right, it was Flex.
Yeah, okay, so
he'll pay the fine.
Well, no, I can satisfy the FCC by saying Flex has been suspended, and Flex will probably not be a part of the show anymore.
Oh,
God damn.
What?
No!
Stop it. That one you got.
That one
slipped out.
That's what he said. My Lord.
Holy cow.
Let me tell you something about radio. I've been at it a long time. You can't sit around and do stuff like that. You'll be fired before you know it. That was the beautiful thing about Walter Brennan. Two different voices. The pathetic, sad, you feel so sorry for him voice. I went downtown the other day, and he's still making fun of me because I'm ignorant. Don't know how to read, don't know how to write.
Ignorant.
Ignoramus, that's what they call me. Here comes Ignoramus. And then he had his excited voice. Hey, Luke, I went out to bar, and Papina was out there, was pissed now. I called Papina out the bar, and he didn't have any pants on, right in front of Luke.
You missed your calling.
I think I did. Now, Shirley and Thomas are waiting, and they're sick of this.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear any more of this, and there's still a line open. No, there's not. They're full. Let's go to Thomas. Thomas, the torture is over. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Doc, team, I'm stealing bandwidth from the company to listen to you from Colorado Springs, Colorado.
All right. Glad to have you with us all the way from Colorado. What do you got for Dr. Doug?
One quick thing, then my question. I just want to let you know that my sister-in-law's family owns the International Banana Museum that the travel show covered last week.
Bill Clevel, are you kidding?
Wow.
I am not kidding. And I just want to assure all the listeners that there is no banana in the pants mannequin hanging in the museum of the International Banana Museum.
That's good to know. That part was fabricated. That was not true. It was fake news.
So, but they do serve a great banana split. Now,
I bet they do. Are they allowed to make banana daiquiris? They probably don't have a liquor license.
I don't think they do. And by the way, they're not the original owners. They were they went into the place. They saw how cute it was, and then they bought it from the original owners, and now they've operated it, and it's been featured in travel programs across the world. You know, people drop by and do their little videos and stuff.
Is it more of a hobby, or is there actually any money to be made in having the banana museum?
These guys are pretty sharp in business. They're real estate people in California. Yeah. They do it because they fell in love with it. I think that they break even. They have some branded stuff, but it is what it is.
If you pay the bills, you break even. If all the bills are paid and you still break even, you have fun. That's okay.
Yeah.
What do you got for Dr. Doug?
Well, you know, once in a while, like every 16 months or so, it seems like my dog has some form of depression. So you come home from the day, and she's just her tail's between her legs, and it lasts for about 24 to 48 hours, and I don't know what the cause is. And I was just curious, do dogs suffer from depression? And then she seems to come out of it after a short period of time, again, 24 to 48 hours. And just what your thoughts are and, you know,
how to tackle that. How old is she?
She'll be five in October.
Okay, so, yeah, that's not a normal behavior, and I would suggest that even at 5 years as a young dog, obviously, but I would definitely get in and get a good exam. You might even do a little blood work. There might be some underlying cause that's just starting in a young dog even that could be causing some of that intermittent presentation, because that's just not a normal way for dogs to be.
Unless, he says it happens when he comes home. Thomas, when you come home, we come in every day with some like depressing news, like you look at your dog and go, well, I got fired today. Your other master filed for divorce. Is that it? No?
No, I don't think so, other than that the IT guy gets upset when I steal bandwidth to listen to you on a daily basis.
Sometimes sure
I
get
a little frustrated.
It doesn't take much, though. Audio doesn't eat up a lot of bandwidth or data. So you actually think the dog's depressed?
Yeah, and it's not on a weekly basis, not on a monthly basis. It seems like every, like I said, about 16 months, and it just lasts for 24 to 48 hours. And I don't know what it is.
I wouldn't be terribly concerned about it, but again, it might be worth in the middle of one of those episodes to get a baseline blood work and stuff like that, your analysis, and just make sure there isn't some kind of intermittent recurring issue that you're not aware of. And then you can rule that out, then you can start talking about some other behavioral issues or things going on around the house that you don't even think about, but that are subtle stress events for the animal. So,
or next time it happens, put him to sleep.
Oh.
He didn't have to take my advice.
But I would follow up with that, Tom.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Thomas, thank you for keeping us with you in Colorado. We appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Shirley, it's your turn. Shirley, say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hi, doctor.
Hi, Shirley. How are you?
I'm really frustrated here. I have a 9-month-old Bichon.
Uh-huh.
I've had her since she was 6 months and second owner. And when I went to the vet, got those pills, I can't remember the name of them.
The what, honey?
They did not work. I used 8 so far, and they haven't worked yet. I've tried children's Benadryl. It helps some. I bought her a booster seat, and she still vomits.
Oh, okay, that was the problem. We didn't know the problem until now. So she vomits when she goes in the car?
She vomits when she gets in the car. She starts with a drooling, frothing, and then heaving.
Is it a new event, or is it something that's been going on since day one?
Since I've had her, since she's 6 months old. So 3 months.
So what I suggest to people in that scenario is that you start slowly. So the first thing you do is you just get in the car, turn on the music, keep it nice and cool and comfortable, and just let her sit there and do it on an empty stomach. So
what kind of music do you play for a dog?
Oh, I like
Slayer.
Led Zeppelin.
Who let the dogs out?
Who?
But just something nice and pleasant and simple.
I'll be doggone if I...
Why wouldn't you play Snoop Dogg?
Oh, okay, that Snoop would Dogg. Work too.
Gin and juice.
Snoop Dogg.
Gosh, I don't even know what I was saying.
I've tried that.
Wait a minute now. Let me finish. Okay.
Okay,
so what I want you to do is go in there like for 10 or 15 minutes of time, and it should be some hours after the dog's eaten so that the tummy is, at least the stomach's empty. It takes about 4 or 5 hours after a feeding for the stomach to empty completely. And then you can start with that approach and do that a couple times a day, and then you can start to extend the time you're going. Now, if you want to, you want to talk to your vet about this, they may be able to give you some... Did you try Dramamine? I couldn't hear. Have you tried? You did try Dramamine. So you can alter the dose on that or the Benadryl. And the other thing they can do is they might give you something else. There's some other medications that will help kind of resolve nausea that you could do, and then start the training program in the face of those good drugs, and then start to do this process. But I have found that most animals will get used to it, especially as you start to do more time. Then you take them to a park or someplace that's a fun event, and then just have a good time, and you go back in the car. They start to realize, hey, this is a good thing we're doing. So at first, it's just anxiety. Okay, so you always want to do it on an empty stomach if you can plan and schedule your movement in the car, and then you want to do little bits at a time, and then if you want to add a some kind of pharmacologic agent, then just talk to your vet about what we could add that would be safe, and they might use, there's a whole bunch of new drugs out that they use for like settling animals, trazodone and stuff like that, so you might talk to them about options, okay? And I think you can beat this.
Yeah, I've done that. I've been doing, you know, what you said there. And I tried the one drug, and it didn't help. And then this week I'm supposed to be, we're supposed to be going on a 6,000-mile trip.
Driving?
Yeah.
With a dog that vomits in your car?
Yeah, that's your point.
We have an RV.
Okay, with that vomits in your RV then.
Well, with the dog, I wonder.
Yeah, she hasn't vomited in the RV. We've taken like 4 trips in it with her. And she got, about 8 miles, and she got a little, you know, queasy and sick. And I thought
that was in the RV.
Yeah.
Okay, so she did get sick in the RV. You said she hadn't vomited in the RV.
Well, she didn't vomit in it because I got her out. We were getting out to walk around.
Oh, okay. Well, I still think my suggestion is the way to go. And I think it's really important to talk to your veterinarian about some different options of different drugs at different doses.
Shirley, did you say that the dog had to be let after 8 minutes in the RV? Had to be let
no,
8 out?
Miles.
Eight miles.
I would take the trip, but give yourself a lot of time, because how long did you say it was, 6,000 miles?
Yep.
You drive 8 miles, let the dog out. Drive 8 miles, let the dog out. That's going to be a long time to go 6,000 miles.
I don't think my husband's
going to
stop.
I wouldn't blame him.
Yeah. Give it a try. Try and work on our suggestion. Okay.
I'll do that. And I
we'll have a safe trip.
Taking my call.
You what?
I appreciate you taking my call.
No, it's our pleasure.
We're happy to take your call.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Have a safe trip.
You know, the Lord has blessed us. We've done this for 34 years.
Wow.
For 34 years, you take a 6,000-mile trip every year?
Yes, it's about.
Wow.
And can I ask you where you go to cover 6,000 miles?
Oh, we go to California and around and back.
And how long does that take you, usually?
Well, if we were driving straight through, it'd be 36 and a half hours, stopping one time for dinner.
So I'm guessing you do this in about 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, what do you mean? Go there and back?
Well, to drive 6,000 miles, do you do it in 3 days, or do you take couple, 3 weeks to do it.
We go there and visit and have a good time and enjoy the Pacific Ocean and family.
Okay.
And then we drive home. We used to take 5 weeks. And now that my husband's retired,
Take us with you. 590 The Fan is the app. Take us with you, okay?
Okay.
All right, Shirley. Thank you.
Bye, Shirley.
You guys be blessed.
Be blessed. Okay. We are. Thank you. Now, that's nice when people say that, but the truth is, we're either going to be blessed or we're not. Her saying it, blessed, I think, unless usually means by most people that, God's good to you.
Yeah, right. I think she needs to be ordained for it to really stick.
Okay. Never thought of it that way. Ryan is next. Ryan, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug. Hey, Ryan, how are you? Good. I put my dog down yesterday.
Okay.
And they said that, it'd be between 4 and 5 weeks before I'd be able to get his cremation ashes back.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just curious on, why would it take so long? And am I actually getting his ashes back?
Oh, yeah. I don't know who they're using, of course, but if they're using one of the traditional companies in the area, they are very, at least they should be, and they have been, in my experience, very legitimate about what they bring back to
them. I think he's got a great question, though, because I've always wondered about that. How do you know they're going to
have ashes? You don't know exactly. I mean, there's a vote of trust there, but these people are, if they mess up, and it gets out, which is always possible, they lose a ton of business. So I don't think it's worth it for them. What they do is they probably, and I haven't been there at the crematoriums, but I think they probably take like stainless steel trays or whatever they use, and they probably separate them off by something so that the ashes of your pet are the ashes of your pet. And so that's, I don't think that's an issue.
Now, yeah, but why would it take 5 or 6 weeks?
Yeah, that's the other question, and I've never seen, I don't know which service you use. Our service usually not more than 2 weeks. So, and I assume it has to do with, the number of animals. They're servicing a lot of veterinary clinics in the whole community, not just right in St. Louis County, but St. Louis City, Illinois, St. Charles, and unfortunately, there's a lot of business. And the emergency clinics, there's always a lot of issue there. So I would find out which service it is and ask your vet why it's taking so long, and there are other service options for you. Okay?
Okay. I was just curious of what they were doing with my dog's body and how long and whatnot.
Yeah, that seems long to me, too. I agree.
They probably have freezers and just kind of keep them ready until they're ready to do the... Wow. Cremation. But yeah, find out who it is, and if you have questions, you can always call us. We can make other suggestions, but I'm sure your vet can help you with that.
Thanks, fellas. I love the show.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. We love you too. Not
sorry
in a
for
sexual
your loss,
way.
Too.
Yeah. Here's a creepy story. We had people, and I saw this myself when they opened the freezer. They had a fox. It was sort of a pet, and they kept it frozen. They just threw it in the freezer when it died, and they had it intact the way they remembered it, frozen.
My,
it was a deep freeze.
That happened to a friend of mine. His basset hound died, and he came home to visit his parents, and he asked his dad where it was, and he said, oh, come with me. They went into the basement, and his dad just lifted at the chest freezer door and was like, so-and-so died, and then walked away.
And the dog was in there?
Yeah, and he was in the chest freezer.
Just
dead.
Looking alive, just frozen.
Yep.
Oh, well, wow. They don't eat as much that way.
I mean,
well, they sure don't.
Wow.
and they never have to go to the vet again.
Yeah, they do.
For sure. And they won't come when you call
them. I may have heard of people that have actually thought about freeze drying the bodies so that once they're there, they can become an ottoman or something.
Well, that absolutely is done places.
What do you mean freeze dry?
Well, instead of taxidermy, it's a way to sort of you dry up the insides, but you maintain the structure, the outside of the body. It's like taxidermy, sort of, so that they have the animal sitting by the footstool the way it used to in that same pose and position. I personally, it's weird.
That's a bit weird.
There's something for everybody.
Yeah, I think so. Now, let's get Lori in here. Lori, say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Laurie. I wish I had your energy.
I am AM and the PM. Hey, I just got off the road. How good. I've called you a couple times about... I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. We're great.
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Good. I've called you a couple times about my Chiweenie.
Uh-huh. This is you got the wrong number. You're looking to call the OBGYN show.
I get that.
Doctor, my Chiweenie itches.
Well, she's putting down her husband. It's obvious.
That's funny.
Yeah, thank you.
So yeah, I've called a couple times. One, she just didn't really learn her name, but she finally has. It's taken her almost 9 months, but she finally got the hang of that. And then. But my question, I have two small questions. One, her canine teeth on the bottom, she has not lost her baby teeth, but her permanent teeth have already come in.
Right.
Is that a problem?
Not a problem, but they should be removed because a lot of times they'll displace, push the normal teeth in the wrong direction. But normally what happens is the body will produce enzymes that erode the root of that baby tooth, and then the new one can come in. But that's a really simple procedure. You just do a light sedation and get them out.
Okay, because she's just almost 9 months, so yeah, I don't know.
Right. Has she been spayed already?
She should have lost them by now, right?
Yeah, she should have lost them by probably 5 or 6 months at the latest.
Okay, that's what I thought. And then my other question is, when she gets really excited to go outside or she comes back inside, she kind of like makes this snorting sound like a pig.
Okay, that's called, that's a reverse sneeze. And that's common in some of the smaller breeds, and sometimes it's a result. If you look, fill inside your mouth, you got that soft palate component of the top of your roof of your mouth that gets soft in the back part of it. So in some little breed dogs, especially little short-faced dogs, that tissue can be redundant. So it kind of falls over and irritates the airway passage right at the epiglottis. You know, that's the separation. The epiglottis goes down the windpipe, and the esophagus goes up in towards your stomach.
Or, Lori, is your dog purebred? Do you have papers on that dog? It's a Chiweenie? Let me tell you something. Maybe you have a dog where somebody thought, hey, I'm going to put a dog with a pig and see what happens. Maybe your dog is half pig.
No.
What is a Chiweenie?
It's Chihuahua and something.
And a wiener dog.
And a Chihuahua. But she is just absolutely adorable. She is so cute. It's just unbelievable. She has the legs of the Chihuahua, but the body and the face of a dachshund.
Cute. I'm trying to visualize.
She's like all black. She is adorable. She is adorable.
We're taking your word for that.
I dated a girl like that one.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Tim, you dated somebody who had the legs of a Chihuahua and the face of a dog?
Yeah. Like, we only lasted about 5 months.
Lori,
she kept sniffing herself.
Lori, what I'm about to play, you say it sounds like a pig. What I'm about to play you may be disturbing to some listeners.
Yes.
But I secretly recorded a sick, demented person trying to breed, and maybe it was successful, a dog with put him in a pen with a bunch of pigs, and I will play you the recording. Here it is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I did hear something.
That is awesome. You know, she may have made that sound a couple times. She may have.
Could be.
Half check that out. All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Lori, before you get away, how old are you? How old are you?
I am 56.
Favorite age. Oh. Thank you, Lori.
I'm a very, very, very long-time listener.
Well, we appreciate it. We really do. Thank you.
You're my ride home. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Said you are my ride home.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. She rides you home.
There was a sexual connotation.
There was.
There was some subliminal sexual message there.
Innuendo.
There was some. See, that's an Italian term for some kind of sex. I don't go for.
All I should say is you guys are my ride
innuendo.
Home.
Innuendo.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. I was going to wrap it up, but see, now... people are getting smart and the lines are open, so we have a call. As soon as Dan tells me the name of one of these callers, I will I'll put them on here with you because we still have a couple of minutes. So there it is. It's Tony Tony, say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, hi, Dr. Doug. How you doing?
Good, Tony. And you?
I'm doing all right. Hey, first off, I had a weird dream last week that Frank got real sick and he couldn't get a hold of his doctor, so he went to see you. And
that was not a dream.
Yeah, no, I treat him all the time.
That's happened many times.
You put him to sleep.
Well, he's tried. He's tried.
He just likes the rectal. No problem.
Oh, but it's the inner one. Oh, my
goodness. Hey, I have two, on the serious side, I have two dogs that both seem to suffer from allergies. Every time I wake up early in the morning, they're scratching, and my oldest dog sneezes a lot. So I give them an over-the-counter allergy medication, and that seems to work fine. But I've been doing that for, gosh, 3 or 4 years. And I was just wondering if there's a problem giving them that every day.
Yeah, I don't know what drug you're giving, and so I wouldn't be able to comment specifically.
Can I tell you over the air? Is that okay?
Yeah,
sure.
Claritin. Okay.
Yes.
So we can find doses for the Claritin and see if there's something that's, or your vet can do this and find out if there's a proper dose. There's no reason. We use a lot of human antihistamines anyway, so it's just a question of getting comfortable with a particular drug and its dosing. So that's one thing. Now, for longer-term value, you can talk to your veterinarian about, I think we've mentioned these, there's two drugs in concert that we've been using a lot of. It's Apoquel, which is an oral
that's
product.
That's a good one, yeah.
And Cytopoint, which is an injectable component. And together, they are excellent at these many of the allergies. Now, the other thing you can do is talk to your veterinarian about doing some allergy testing and try and see if you can differentiate, you know, what the causes of the allergy are. Are they coming from inside the house, some kind of cleanser you're using or bleach or whatever? There might be a lot of reasons why your dogs are responding like that. Do they sleep in bed with you?
The one does. The youngest one does.
Okay, that's so wrong. No, I'm just teasing. I think that, you need to do a little homework and explore the environment, see where they spend a lot of time. And do they work out of this allergy kind of response after early morning?
Yes.
Okay, so that makes me think that there's something in that particular setting where they are, that they're inhaling or whatever. And if it disappears during the course of the day, I would first explore that site. Maybe even as an experiment, try and keep them in another room overnight and see if you get up early, if they're still making any kind of noises and stuff. But there are a lot of options for these allergy conditions. You have to try and figure out what's causing the problem, see if it's a diet-related allergy or if it's dust mites in your environment or it's some kind of, again, some aerosol that's being used or cleanser or whatever. There's just a whole bunch of things you can do to try and discover what the cause is.
And that can be tested for that.
Yeah, you can do a general testing. It doesn't work well for food items, like allergic food stuff, but if they came back negative, then they'd probably put you in what's called a food trial and try a different kind of a food that might be less allergenic or less of a problem.
Yeah.
But again, the timing is kind of weird. And the fact that it's kind of an isolated event, you know that it doesn't continue throughout the day, makes me think that there's something in the environment that's causing problems.
Okay. Yeah, my dad did give my oldest one an injection for this about 4 or 5 years ago. And that was like in early spring. And he was fine, you know, up until that fall. And I called my vet, and he said he didn't like to do this more than a couple times a year.
That was probably a steroid, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and there are other protocols using steroids if you needed to that put you on a minimum amount of steroid on an every other day basis. You start at one level and you work your way down, but you would do that under the guidance of your veterinarian.
Okay. I will do that. I appreciate it.
Hey, Tony, has anybody ever told you you sound like somebody? Because you sound like a combination of like John Lovitz and Dennis Miller or something. Anybody ever told you that?
No, they haven't.
No, you've got an interesting voice. Like you could do comedy.
Radio? Like,
well, no, nobody wants to do radio. But like a comedy skit, like SNL. And there's somebody you remind me of, and I
John Lovett is the guy.
And John Lovett's had a character sounding very much like Tony. Tony, thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
All right. I appreciate you guys.
All right. Yeah.
I'd like you to meet my wife, Morgan Fanta, whom I've slept with.
Yeah, that's the ticket. sort of like that. Kathy is next. And then when I see this name, the second and third choices for wife when I got married. I married a woman, but the next two women in line were both named Kathy, so they lost out to a woman I married, sadly, for them. Or luckily for them. Kathy, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Kathy. How are you, honey?
I think the women lucked out, not...
I think you're right.
Wow.
I think you're right.
You missed the drum beat on that one, Jaime.
This must be your mother-in-law.
Man.
What's up, Kathy?
I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you.
And I've got a chocolate lab that yesterday walked through the fresh oil when they were oiling and rocking my road.
Oh.
I didn't realize it till he came in the house.
Oh, that stuff.
But he doesn't seem to be hurt at all. He's just messy. Is there something I can use to get that off of his feet?
You know, some people use that Dove liquid soap can be useful. You can use a mild solvent, but you just have to be careful to use it effectively. So that you don't.
What about Goo Gone? There's a product called Goo Gone for taking off glue, like stickers off of ashtrays, and that stuff tends to really work to take off sticky substances.
You just want to make sure that there's no cautionary thing on the label that says keep away from animals or stuff like that, or from skin.
I was thinking about olive oil or something like that, but I didn't want him walk all through the house with olive oil.
No, I would say they use. For the when they're trying to salvage animals in the oil spills and stuff, which is basically what you have there, it's a petroleum byproduct, right? So I would try some Dove shampoo. It seems to be useful.
Dawn,
that's right.
Not Dove. I was wondering.
Dove, Dawn, they're sisters.
No, they're not. Dawn is a pretty good grease cutter. Kathy, since you said olive oil, would you like to hear? Because he's dying to do it. Would you like to hear Dan's Popeye?
Okay.
Dan, give it to her.
Skeet and skeet and skeet and that little.
That was really good.
Kathy, you know that when Popeye was in town, he went down on Olive and thought it was grand.
Thank you. That's 100 years old.
Dan brings him up. Frank brings him back down.
Thank you.
My word.
See, Kathy, you call for advice and you get a whole comedy show.
Yeah.
Do you know why Popeye's wiener never gets rusty?
Ooh, this is
why
good.
Is that?
Hang on. Hold on. Uh-huh. Why it never gets? It's always in olive oil.
Right.
Yeah.
Even the old ladies that tell jokes on the show, Frank mows her lawn on the punchline.
Wow. You just called her an old lady.
Yeah. Older ladies.
I am an old lady.
No, yeah, Kathy, see, don't, see, Kathy, see, do not. Right. Kathy, don't let him off that easy. He assumed, and he said, old lady tells a joke. I would never have done that to you, Kathy, ever. You sound young to me.
I love how you mowed her lawn on the punchline, but you make fun of me for what I said to her.
Of course.
That's unbelievable.
Everyone else goes down but me. Kathy, does that help at all? Olive oil? Dawn, not Dove, but Dawn.
Yeah, use Dawn.
Would be the one to try. Yeah. All right, well, good luck. I hate that tar they put down. I can't. When that stuff slings up on your car, oh, my goodness, it's hard to get off. So.
Yeah, it's raining now. I have to drive real slow.
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
What was that toxin they used to put in that?
In what?
Way back.
In the road tar?
In the road tar.
I don't know.
Where they put that, they had to close down that whole park off of 44 because of all the stuff.
Oh, you're talking about dioxin?
Yeah, isn't that what they use?
That was the stuff in Times Beach.
Yeah, exactly. But that was put down by those guys in tar, wasn't it?
Could have been.
Hey, Dr. Doug, a friend of mine just sent me a text and said to ask you, he has a small dog, and it will. Is it okay to feed him just table scraps because he won't eat dog food?
Well, he won't eat dog food because he's getting all the good table scraps.
Yeah.
So I would say, no, generally it's not a balanced diet, and you might have problems as a result. And of course, there are many animals that have lived on table scraps their whole lives, but it's not what we would suggest.
And that guy should have called in.
What about calling the show? What about like wet dog food? That would be good.
Well, I like wet dog food, like Pedigree or something like that. I like wet dog food better than the dry dog food in some cases because, you know, animals are carnivores, the dogs and cats, and they like eating a lot of fat and protein.
We're out of time. Completely out of time. Give them theme music there. Well, that's, okay. That's good enough. We'll go with that music. Doc, let's do it again next Wednesday. What do you say?
Thank you so much. Right. I learned so many new voices today.
Well, and thanks for making us censor you out twice. Dr. Doug Pernikoff and his partner, his voice.